A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai and pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in front of the mountain, Moses went up the mountain to God. Then the Lord called to him and said, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to hear my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people. Though the earth is mine, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." The word of the Lord.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Know that the Lord is God. He made us, his we are. His people, the flock he tends.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
The Lord is good. His kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. How much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. As we find ourselves back in the season of the ordinary time, I almost forgot what my green vestments look like. I've been wearing white for so long, for Easter, and then even the solemnities following in that come up in the ordinary time of the liturgical year. We are given parallel personages. The first reading, Moses, looking out upon the people, he too feels himself moved in the deepest way for the condition of the people in light of what God is calling him to govern them, to bring them forth as they go. Jesus, from the depth of his humanity, his human heart is moved with pity, we're told, as he himself, in expressing what he expresses today, confirms the prophetic word of the prophet Ezekiel when God was lamenting through the prophet how derelict of duty those who were entrusted with the shepherding of his people, the governance of his people, were just being so reckless and negligent in that responsibility. He prophesied through Ezekiel, "I myself shall shepherd my people." And even Jesus himself, taking upon himself the title, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me." And so as we hear these words of Jesus, it is meant to impress upon us that God has the plan. And this is not an exclusive plan. It's a plan that has an ordered process embedded in it. Jesus instructing the 12 to go with his authority, the Greek exousia. Exousia, the authority of Jesus is being invested in them to go out and not to dialogue with demons, drive them out, have no discussion, drive them out, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, preach this gospel, teach without reservation, as you've received without cost, present it without cost. And the message is the same message Jesus himself spoke. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And I believe it's very telling for us when you consider the names of the 12 that were chosen by the Lord. It says something about the nature of what has to happen and how ingenious in a way the Lord is in choosing these 12. For we have Simon, who was called Peter, Andrew, James, and John. These were fishermen. Then you have Philip. Philip, who was of a Greek origin. His name is a Greek, or Andrew too. Both Andrew and Philip have names of Greek origin. So we begin to see the genius of the Lord, because the lost tribes of the house of Israel are scattered amongst the pagans. They're amongst the Gentiles. So what will this require? It will require a mix of men. It will require a mix of people who have a disposition for all of the diversity that they're going to encounter. You had Simon was the Canaanite from Cana. He was the zealous one. He was very nationalistic, very much in that bent of ready to be a patriot. He's ready to die for the nation. So you need that kind of zeal. Then you have Levi or Matthew, who used to be a tax collector. He was actually working in concert with the occupying Romans to procure the taxes of his own people. The blue-collar workers of Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, fishermen, that would appeal to those who work in that. So we see a vast diversity, and yet this would be the way in which God would draw people of every walk of life, of every nation, would be able to recognize there is a place for them in the kingdom. Now, of course, this is going to take some refinement. These are men that need refining. We all need, it's ongoing. We could say in theological terms, this is going to take conversion. Conversion of mind, conversion of heart. But more than anything else, it's going to take humility in relationship to the one who is calling us. Jesus, the Master, the Good Shepherd, who in speaking to us, in his teaching, he shows us the way. In the signs and wonders he performs, it confirms his teaching. And then we think about how it is that we're being called. And we think about our own personal experience of failures and so forth, and yet we're being reminded to not focus on where you're coming from, but focus on who it is that you're coming towards and who's coming towards you. This is a paradox of the movement of grace in relationship to sin. And as we go in this way, as we find ourselves more and more catechized and transformed in relationship to the Lord, you can imagine how this must have been a shocker for the disciples then, and it's still a shocker for us today. They probably thought for the most part they were going to be with Jesus and having these unbelievable Bible studies and experiencing the Lord doing these works and signs. They never expected that they were going to be the ones being sent out. And yet here we are. The mission of the church, we who are the new Israel, it hasn't changed. If anything, it's now been upgraded. And if we find that we are finding more and more a greater resistance, a greater need for this basic proclamation and its witness, this is because, as the late St. John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II said, it is because it's even now more timely and needed than it was at the beginning. In his encyclical Redemptor Hominis, the Redeemer of Man, the Latin. And so in every age, in every generation, the Lord calls out to us on the basis of the movement of his heart for us. He cannot resist our needs. And when the time was right, his heart was moved and he did something. He could have done it on his own, but he chose to involve us in this enterprise, in this work. And we are going to find the means to accomplish this work in our own unique ways in which we are contributing to it in the same way the apostles and the disciples did then, by remaining faithful to his commands, to the breaking of the bread, Through the teaching of the apostles, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, we too will have a regard for each other in the communal life and to the prayers, which are going to be the constant means by which we will draw strength, that interior strength of the Spirit within us, to deal with the challenges that are there. And the greatest challenges we have is to affect the reality of evangelizing our own families. The church itself needs a renewal, a reformation, if you will. So here we find ourselves, over 21 centuries since the advent of the Christ and all that he has accomplished, and yet the harvest is still just as great, if not more so. And where are the laborers? So few, we must cry out, asking, begging the Master to send laborers. And as he responds to that appeal, we, for our part, must continue to persevere in the way that we have been entrusted with, in letting God be God. For listen to how St. Paul says, Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And that's a mouthful, to say the least. But thank God this isn't so much a matter of speaking what's in one's mouth and putting forth words. This is a matter of the heart, which has been infused with the love of God, manifesting that love with deeds that continue to confirm, as Jesus' deeds confirmed, the teaching that is the way, the truth, and the life of God. God love you.